For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to the Grab Left Field podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, and apparently Reddit now. It's pretty funny, but not actually Reddit. Instagram and Twitter at LB Nerds. You can find, I'm here with my co-host Ryan James. Jackson has decided not to join us today. You can find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia. You can find James on Twitter at James Valentine's.
Great, this kid's Wi-Fi wants to go out right
today's
now.
Today's podcast, we're going to be talking, we're doing our top 10 catchers with Connor mentions. Obviously, you know, if you do follow me on Twitter, particularly, Instagram, try to post them there, but Twitter, I have done my top 10 position, top 20 and 50 position lists recently, and it's kind of been fun. But yeah, I had my catchers. Catcher was an interesting one. A lot of people disagree with what I had to say, and I told them to like listen to the podcast. And it's because I'd rather just talk about it than actually like write a full cohesive argument on Twitter. So that's what we're doing today. We're doing our top 10 catchers.
No, you should write an editorial about your catchers list.
We'll be doing that today, and yeah, and we'll also answer some of your questions that I got from
Instagram. I have a question today for my podcast co-host. My story.
Like I said, I'll lead into the story.
Ryan, Willie's gone. What should I order for dinner?
Oh, well, Jack is gone. What do you know I'm for?
You guys are gone. My internet's apparently fucked.
No, yeah, it's you, because me and Ryan can talk to each other.
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine. Fine now. All right, Jackson, make sure to cut out when you're.
You want to just restart?
Fucking... Yeah, all right, fine.
Jackson, all right, we'll first, I'm ordering food.
What are you ordering?
I don't know what I want.
Culture's food, get Chinese food. What, everybody, welcome back.
Type of food. What are you in the mood for?
Dude, what the fuck, dude? Let me just.
All right, let him intro the podcast. Your name is still what? Are you not renaming yourself here?
His internet is so cooked.
Let's go. All right, I'm gonna cut. We'll go right into the catchers. Okay.
Well, you still need to intro the podcast. Like, you were going in and out.
No, I'm saying intro right into catchers. Don't school right into the catchers, all right?
What about dinner?
I don't care about your dinner, respectfully, sir. Or just no, do your dinner later.
No. I'm hungry.
Everybody? Welcome back to the Grab Left Field podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at LB Nerds. I'm with my co-hosts, Ryan and James. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanGarciaESM. And you can find James on Twitter at James Valentinos. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Deep Drive Pod if you already are not. In today's podcast, we're going to be doing our top 10 catchers with an expanded reasoning behind it. Obviously, I've done my position list both on Twitter and Instagram recently, and I've gotten quite a bit of flack from it. I'm very surprised. I'm actually surprised, but you know, I direct to people here, and this will definitely be something I really recommend everybody listen to, just at least the first part if you can. All of it, obviously, but specifically the first part, I'm going to give my reasoning and everybody and Ryan and James will as well for our top 10 catchers. Just more with expanded reasoning, just, you know, it's a lot easier to form a cohesive argument over just talking than on Twitter. So we'll answer some of your questions as well. I put a story post on my Instagram at Only Nerds for you guys to ask your questions. So let's get into this right here. We'll start with honorable mentions. I'll go first here. My two honorable mentions are Jacob Stallings of the Marlins and Omar Narvaez of the Brewers.
I have three. My three honorable mentions are Omar Narvaez, Jacob Stallings, and Alejandro Kirk.
My two honorable mentions are Austin Nola and Kiber Ruiz. And I would say that Omar Narvaez just missed out on this list. But yeah, I just want to say him. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Now let's start with number 10 for everybody. Number 10, I have Jonah Heim of the Texas Rangers.
Oh my fucking God.
Go ahead, Ryan.
At number 10, I have Danny Jansen.
At number 10, I have Wilson Contreras, so fuck you guys.
Number 9, I have Mike Cignino of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Hold on.
At number 9, I have Jacob Stallings of the should-have-been New York Yankees, but, you know, fucking...
Oh, wait, shit. Okay, so you have Zanino.
Zanino at 9.
All right. At number 9, I have Salvador Perez of the Kansas City Royals.
All right, number 8, I have Los Angeles Angels catcher Max Stassi.
At number 8, this is where I had Jonah Heim.
Wow.
That's kind of high. Even we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, even for someone. Okay. At number 8, I have Mike Zunino of the Tampa Bay Rays.
All right. At number 7, I have Alejandro Kirk of the Toronto Blue Jays. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah. Number 8? Are we at number
7?
Seven. Oh, okay. I have Max Stassi here.
Stassi. I also have Max Stassi.
All right. Number 6, I have Mitch Garver. Actually, number 1 in hitting plus amongst catchers, Mitch Garver of the, the Minnesota Twins.
I forgot Mitch Garver. Holy fuck.
Dude. All right. At number 6, I have Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles, which is undoubtedly too high, and I'm going to regret this later in the
year. No, you're not. Okay.
I'll
say about Garver, I would bump out Jansen. You and then put Garver, bitch. But I'd put Jansen like honorable mention, and I would put Garver in between Stassi and Hines. I'd put Stassi. Garver 7, okay. Stassi and Heim. There
you
go.
You have Heim at 9,
Stallings at 10, Garver at 7, no, Garver at 8, Stassi at 7.
There you go.
Okay. And then my number 6 would be Mike Zunino.
Okay, let's. Where is Garver? Oh, he's up here. All right, 3. Okay.
All right. Number 5?
Yeah.
Number 5, I have Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles. Or the Norfolk, whatever their AAA team is.
At number 5,
I also have Adley here. Oh, wait. Okay. Oh, you're
I forgot. I have Sean Murphy of the not fucking Baltimore, of the Oakland A's. But soon to be somewhere else because they're trading everyone.
I have Adley Rutschman also at 5.
All right, number 4, I have Sean Murphy of the Oakland Athletics, soon to be of the New York Yankees, but Oakland Athletics for now.
All right, at number 4, I have Mitch Garver of the Minnesota Twins.
At number 4, I also have Sean Murphy.
All right, number 3, I have JT Realmuto of the Philadelphia Phillies. All
right, at number 3, I have Will Smith of the Dodgers.
I also have JT here.
Everybody is Smith to Grandel.
Well, no.
You have JT, too. We all have Rondall 1.
I forgot. I thought, right, yeah. Okay, Ryan and I both have Will Smith. James has JT Realmuto 2, and we all have Grandal 1.
Yes. Can I defend where I have Heim? Because I wanted to bring this up.
Because so, I can also defend, but if you
want to. Jonah Heim versus Jacob Stallings and Danny Jansen. He led them both in on a per-rate basis in Baseball Prospectus War. He projects to be higher than even I had him, but I wasn't going to go that far. So on a per-rate basis, he's already outplayed guys like Stallings and Jansen the previous season, our first real good look at him, despite his offense probably being at the worst that it'll be in his major league career. I think he had like a 50-something WRC plus. So for him to be a 50-something WRC plus hitter, I think stupid ESPN. I'm pretty sure DRC Plus wasn't very kind with him as well. For him to already be one of the best per rate catchers in baseball tells you a lot about how good he is right now and how good he'll be going into the future. And if this is, I looked at this from the perspective of going into 2022. And so that's my reason for having that comment. If you had him 11 or 12, I wouldn't really mind, but that's why I had him 8.
Yeah, and I think that especially, you know, is a CM projected 91 WRC plus hitter.
Okay, I want to talk about that.
Yo, can you let me fucking speak here, sir?
Speak.
Thank you, James. So like I said, you know, Jonah Heim is going to be, according to CM, his 50th percentile outcome is 91 WRC plus. His 60th percentile outcome is probably like around 95, close to 100, it's off the top of my head probably. Like, that's kind of crazy. Now, do I think that'll happen? No, I think maybe... Seamer might even be jumping the kind of bit here, but even then, like, he doesn't have to be a 91 WRC plus to be a top 10 catcher. He'd probably be closer to 80. Like, he's such a good defender. He's probably a top 3 defender in you know, Major League Baseball, where it's the same argument with guys who haven't really played too much. Like, these guys don't have to put up these elite numbers like they did in the minors. They just have to be, you know, decent enough, because catcher is a very thin position. And, you know, Jonah Heim, he was a guy who I've actually kind of liked for quite a while. I don't really understand what Oakland was doing. I mean, obviously they got Elvis Andrews for free, I guess, by trading Jonah Heim, which made no sense, but that was good for the Rangers. And you know, he should be getting the majority of the starts at catcher. You know, Trufino's a really good defender. He's not, he also follows me on Instagram, very nice of him, but he's not, definitely not better than Heim, and he shouldn't be getting the starts over Heim.
Okay. So when you talk about the Steamer WRC plus at 90,
yes,
out of all the starting catchers in the league, that's like the second or third worst. Because
that's not true at all.
Like
you made it up. You're just making that shit up.
A Steamer doesn't go much lower than 90. Like
that's also not true.
Hedges is okay. Projected. Nito is projected. You're just lying.
They're not starters.
Okay.
Nito's definitely not a starter. Hedges will start now that Perez is gone. But
I think McCann is like an.
Okay. So out of I have this sorted, but.
Joey Bart's a 79.
Joey Bart is also not a starting caliber catcher.
But would you not say that Joey Bart would have been considered someone that Steamer should like adore because he's a prospect and he was a highly touted one at some point? And
but they don't really care. They don't go like, oh, he's ranked high, let's give him a good projection. Like Joey Bart's, is it too early to call a bust? Yes.
What does that tell you?
Joey Bart is, I mean, he was awful last year.
Or even guys like Christian Vasquez or Tucker Barnhart. That's an 80 and an 85 right there.
I think that Jonah Heim, and James, before you continue here, I think Jonah Heim, you got to remember, like, this is also a top three defender at the catcher position. And I think it's so important to remember that. And that defense is probably very likely, almost certainly not going to go away.
It's also hard to, like, be a true talent.
One, two,
like
three,
50 WRC plus hitter, like for most people, like you wouldn't project someone to say, like, oh, their median outcome's a 190 WRC plus, the same way you wouldn't say someone's median outcome is being consistently one of the worst hitters of all time. If you get what I'm saying?
Well, in Jonah Heim's two season, his median outcome is a 50 WRC plus.
Well, that's not his median outcome. That's
yeah, it
how
is.
Median outcome
that
works.
In the seasons he has played, his median is 50.
Okay, but that's not how median outcome works. That's not true. Like, I feel like you're kind of missing the point here. That's not how true talent.
All I'm saying is that Steamer doesn't, like, it's a conservative projection. All projections are. And that goes both ways. The same way you wouldn't give a guy 190 WRC plus, you wouldn't give a guy.
But that's what I'm saying, because guys aren't true talent. Because he's, like, it's hard to be a true talent 50. It's hard to be true talent that bad. Like, we're talking specially terrible. Cody Bellinger, he's not.
He sucks.
Realistically,
too.
Also, like, real quick, even if, like, Jonah Heim is a 75 WRC plus hitter, he's still probably a 2.5 win player if he's playing enough.
All right. It's time to make another stupid bet with Ryan. Or you.
Ryan is.
His war probably shoots up. What's up?
I will make a dump. Back. Make another stupid bet here that Jonah Heim's WRC plus is under 80.
Under 80. All right, I'll take that.
All right. You're saying above 80.
Yeah.
Under 80. I wouldn't be like, I don't know. I wouldn't be like shocked at that high. Is it based on the idea that he's going to be a 90?
Oh, by the way.
More so that he was so terrible at the plate and yet still was so good.
An 80 WRC plus? Would be a 33% improvement from last year.
Yeah.
A third better.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And he's going to do that. So here we go.
What do you want to bet on it?
I don't know. What did you guys bet on last time?
Twitter bios.
What? Did we even bet?
We did on the White Sox.
Oh, yeah, and I won. So yeah. So you said bet another stupid bet, and you bet on the – the Angels being better than the White Sox.
No.
Angels.
No.
Angels,
I bet on. I bet.
Yes. Because you had to.
I bet on 8 teams being better than the White Sox. I didn't say what 8.
And
teams.
You look pretty dumb now because 8 teams were not better than
the White Sox were the 8th best team in baseball record wise. Okay.
Yeah. So that means that there were 8.
I lost the bet
that
by
means
one.
What?
Team.
That they were not. Oh, that James. If I lose the bet by 2 WRC plus points, are you gonna be saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Not really. No, you won't be. You'll be saying, oh, I won. I was right.
They weren't the eighth best team. My really point.
But, you're right. The White Sox are the best team in baseball last year. They were really good.
But they were in such a shit division, they still weren't a top eight team in baseball. But I digress.
Are you serious? Like,
they had a top eight record. They were not a top eight team in baseball. I don't know how
you picked them to win the World Series. That
doesn't make any sense. You picked them to win the World Series. That makes no sense.
Yeah, they ran into the
Astros. You guys talk about this all the time. The AL Central was so weak last year. Like,
I think the White Sox would have beaten any team in the American League East. Any team. Yes, yes.
They won 91 games in the AL.
The Astros bent.
They wouldn't have made it if they were in the East. If they were in the East, they didn't bend over everyone in the American League.
The Astros didn't bend over everyone in the American League?
Not in the regular season. And
I'm talking about the postseason. And the
Astros, I mean, they only played one team. Like, they only played one AL East team.
No, what I'm saying is the Chicago White Sox were a better true talent team than any AL East team.
No.
All right. Yes. All right. Come on.
Yes. No.
Who's better than them?
The Blue
other than maybe
Jays,
the Rays.
The Yankees. No,
the Blue Jays.
No, the Yankees were. The Yankees were not a good team last year. They were an okay team last year. That is not a good lineup. Any offense.
All right, we're getting off track here.
We're moving on.
They started Gary fucking Sanchez over Kamagashioka.
They're
not a good team.
We're going to move on.
That is a solid team last year. Not a good
next
team.
Next big discrepancy in the list. Do you have the biggest discrepancy, James?
I would say Zunino. We had a little different.
Yeah. So
the top of our list is basically the same. Like, the only really switches we had were like, I had Garver a little bit higher than you guys, but I think that's just because I value offense more than you guys do at the catcher position.
Well, I'll talk – I think we should talk about real quick two guys specifically, Zunino and then Salvador Perez. Perez shouldn't take too long, but Zunino specifically, I had him a bit lower just because, you know, he can only hit left-handed pitching, and that's fine. Like, he's such a good hitter against lefties, and, like, that's obviously really good. But just the fact that you can't really roll him out there against a righty and he could be, like, remotely close to a serviceable hitter, it's like, you know, I wouldn't – put him any higher than maybe 8 or 7. Like, even then, 7 is kind of pushing it. 8's kind of good. I have him at 9. But, you know, he's still a great head. Like, don't get it. Top 10 is really good. He plays really good defense. But I really don't think he's going to be a 232 WRC plus hitter against lefties again. And he's just not serviceable against righties.
Okay. I had Zunino higher than both of you did. No, Ryan had him the highest.
I had 6.
I had 8. But, like, with Zunino, I mean, he's a great defender. He's always been a great defender. And then he adds, I mean, he had a 134 whatever this was. I don't see him doing that again. Like, he's probably closer to like 110, 115. 97 on
the average.
No, 97 on Steamer's low because he's not, like, you guys say, like, oh, he can't hit righties, but he doesn't play against righties. So it doesn't really matter. Probably
close to 110, but that's just with sort of lower volume.
But also, Zunino's probably one of those guys where his outcomes are like, there's, he has a wide range of out. I think his distribution curve is a lot wider than most other guys.
I disagree with that.
You don't think his distribution curve is wider than other guys?
Because I think his distribution curve, as you call it, is completely dependent on whether he's playing or not. Because if the Rays stick to the platoon with Mejia hitting righties and Zunino hitting lefties, then he's going to have a WRC plus close to 130 again.
Dude, he had a 126 WRC plus in 2017, then proceeded to be one of the worst hitters in baseball, then proceeded to put up a 134. This guy's a literal walking, like, he flip-flops.
Yeah, but it's not like he's not been able to – he's always been good against lefties.
Not really. I'm pretty sure he's had
years. Okay, never mind. He had a 1 WRC plus.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he's going to hit 7 WRC plus. I think he'll be either way below or way above.
Like, he hits lefties like Barry Bonds, so –
sometimes,
and then 243 WRC plus. I don't know. I think I trust that his barrel rate and stuff against lefties, like, everything there looks great. I just think, I don't think he's even gonna play against righties, which I guess should hurt his rating the way that I look at things, and it kind of did, because, like, he's a better hitter than Max Stassi. He's a better hitter than Sean Murphy. Like, those are not really.
He's better hitter than Sean Murphy, though.
Yes.
I don't think he is. I can't say it.
Who?
I would say next year he has a higher WRC plus than Sean Murphy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that. Like, I like Zunino. I'm, like, high on Zunino. The thing is, I'm just saying that I think he has a very wide distribution of results. And if it was a little bit tighter, he would be a consensus top 5 catcher. It's just,
he's not. You fucking assholes put Jonah Heim in the top 10.
Yeah. And I have every reason to.
I'm changing my order just so I can get him out of here.
That won't work. Nothing you'll do will work.
I think we should also
Could give Salvador Perez 7 points if I wanted to.
Yeah, but that would be dumb because Salvador Perez really shouldn't be my Salvador Perez three to on the top 10.
Salvador Perez is a good enough hitter to be in the top 10.
Let me preface this, right? Got a lot of shit for the Salvador Perez ranking, which is obviously anticipated. Like, I don't doubt that a lot of people love Salvador Perez. He's a good hitter. Obviously, he's a really solid hitter. Like, he's not a bad hitter. He's not a 127 WRC plus hitter again. Like, there's no way that's going to happen. He plays historically bad defense at the catcher position, which is a very valuable defense position. To put him in the top 10, I feel like is kind of bad, just considering how bad he is defensively and how kind of not mediocre. He's still a great hitter for a catcher. He's just not, like, still 90th percentile hitting-wise for catcher, but, like, not going to be remotely close to service behind the plate. And I can definitely see with Melendez coming up, him moving to first base for, like, DH at some point. I just don't, like, I could see the argument also because he plays so much, but he also DHs a lot. Like, I don't know how to really evaluate him in that regard. Evaluating catchers in general is just so difficult, but I don't know. That's
okay. There's no defending Salvador Perez's defense, right? Like, it's just... Yeah. Like even Contreras, there's a way around it. Like, you could just look at different stats. But Salvador Perez is legitimately the worst defensive catcher in baseball. I almost said basketball. Right. But, like, I don't think there's a way to disagree with that. But at the same time, I do think he's a good enough hitter to be in my top 10, especially because catcher is such a weak position overall. And, I mean, the fact that, okay, so last year he had a 127 WRC plus. 2020, obviously only played 37 games, he had 162. The last two seasons, and I know he's older, he's 32. He does, for a catcher, play every single day, which is very, very valuable.
Yeah, that is.
And I know he's had injury problems, but I'm trying to find his fucking defensive stats.
They're so bad. It's so terrible. Like, it's so bad. And I don't really know. It's kind of actually insane how people think he's a good defender. How the fuck did this guy win Gold Gloves?
Because he throws hard.
No, when you watch him play, like, he's so terrible. Like, me and Ryan, I don't know about Ryan, but, you know, when I watched the Yankees Royal Series, took like two games, this dude was so bad. It was incredible.
Oh, framing-wise, yes. Absolutely. Literally,
he's taking the balls out of the zone. It's incredible. Like, I don't understand how people, I guess people don't understand the value of framing. Like, if Robo-Umps in play, he's probably a top 5-7 catcher. Probably top 5 for sure.
No, he's higher than that.
I think he's a top three hitter
at the position.
I don't know if he's a top three hitter at the catcher position. I think
Mitch Garver clears him offense.
No, I think the only two hitters who are better than him at the catcher position are Grandal and Smith.
And Garver. Garver's better.
Garver, Smith, Grandal, maybe even like Kirk.
Kirk is a better hitter. Kirk is a better hitter.
Do you want to make another dumb bet? Perez is going to have higher.
Alejandro Kirk will out-hit Salvador Perez next year.
Yeah,
no, guaranteed. Put it in the books. Put it in the books.
No. But, like, okay, fine. WRC Lundes plus, maybe, but WRC flat, like, Perez will have way
WRC
more value.
Flat? Who cares about WRC flat? I care about WRC plus.
It's value. Like, he's going to play twice as many games.
No, but that's not the argument.
Are you talking about OIF?
No, because OIF is also base running.
Who is
going to give you more value at the plate next year? It'll be Salvador Perez.
Yeah, no, but I'll say Alejandro Kirk. True or false? Alejandro Kirk and Melendez would out-hit Perez if they had the same playing time.
Yeah.
I think he would.
No.
I think
yes. Yeah.
You think he'll have a higher WRC plus?
What is it, a fucking 40 home run season in like 110 games? Like, that's fucking crazy.
Melendez is going to put up like a 115, 120 WRC plus next year.
Wait. You want to talk about home runs as if Salvador Perez didn't set the fucking record last year?
That's not my point. Like, that's obviously not my point. My point is, like, when you're talking about a general sense, like, this guy, Melendez, to hit 40 home runs in a minor league season is insane. And
Salvador Perez hit 48 in a major league season.
He's obviously...
Yeah, Salvador Perez
is obviously not good because he hits home runs, right? Melendez is good because he's a good hitter. I was simply saying as a fact. Like, obviously, no. He's not a good hitter because he hits a lot of home runs. He's a good hitter because he's a good hitter. You know, Salvador Perez, all he does is hit home runs. And when he's in home runs, he strikes out or he gets out. Like, it doesn't matter. You know,
MJ Melendez had a higher isolated power at like a 327 than he did a BABIP at a 310. Think of that shit. Fucking ridiculous. Yeah. And
That's because he has a 20. I mean, okay, I'm just looking at grades here, but he has a 20-30 hit grade. Like, that's awful.
He has a 21.2%. But also that those two, he's also only considered a 40-plus FV prospect. Only given the 12th highest rank amongst the Kansas City Royals fucking farm system. He's clearly not just
great, which is a great farm system.
Oh, it's like very really, top heavy. They have like three really good guys and then it kind of falls off.
Do you actually think MJ Melendez is behind 11 guys in their farm system?
I mean, do you actually think that you guys act like every single player in the minor leagues translates to the majors?
And that's not what we're saying. If I said not, that, why would, I think, if that was true, why would I why would I ever defend the Hoi-Jun Park trade? Because he had a 164 WRC plus in AAA. It doesn't apply to everyone. Some guys do it in a way that it translates well to the major league levels. Guys with high isolated powers, high walk rates, and a low enough strikeout rate for their hit tool to be good enough for their gate for their raw power to translate to game power. Those are the guys who play well at the major league level. Your Bobby Witt Juniors, Adley Rutschman, Melendez, those type of guys. Not Volpe, your boy Jim Parks. Like Volpe is different because he's not in AAA. Yeah. I'm saying the guys for next year, not right now.
Reason, just stop. All right.
It's a troll. Yeah, of course.
All right. I think but also you got to consider like, you know, whether these other positions or not is fine. Catcher is so weak. Catcher is ridiculously weak relative to other positions. And Salvador Perez, I don't see it. I don't think he's more than it's in my opinion. I have him 13. I don't think you put him higher than like maybe 10, 9.
Well, I have him at 9, but
yeah, that's kind of bad. Like, I would probably put him. I know you know where I put him, but I probably wouldn't go there. I think.
Okay, you love what's it called? At least last year, I don't know if you still do, but Baseball Prospectus WAR for catchers was like a huge thing last year.
It's well, I've definitely switched up a bit because I'm doing total like this is a projection. I'm ranking differently this year. Obviously, Prospectus WAR matters to a certain extent, and defensive stats from Prospectus definitely matter, but DRC Plus is so terrible, like it doesn't really matter, in my opinion.
What the it's fuck just is... CDA and Steamer WRC Plus.
Wait, what's his DRC Plus last year? 130, so surprised. lower than his, or a little higher than
my narrative, but I'm not a filthy narrative pusher, so I wouldn't be.
What do you mean it would fit your narrative? It's higher than his WRC Plus.
Perez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Didn't Perez a shit out of the ball?
Yeah,
what was his DRC plus?
130.
What the fuck?
Also, I just want to say any ranking that has Angels Zerpa ahead of MJ Melendez, and Angels Zerpa has never done well above the high A level and is struggling double A and triple A is not a system I'll be using.
Yeah, but minor league, who has that?
Me. Also, they have to update it. That's where the 2021 report. They're in the middle of doing the 2022 one. So that's
out. Okay, okay, one, yes. But also, Major League WRC Plus, like Steamer is way better at projecting Major League players than minor league players. And we know that.
I think it's less so okay. Adley Rutschman last season had like a combined 143 WRC Plus in the minors, okay?
He doesn't he's a great defender.
He's also a good defender. He doesn't have to have a 143 WRC Plus in the majors to be a top five catcher. He's still like a 110, 115 WRC Plus, which is very attainable. And I think that when we're thinking about minor league to major league translations, it's the same type of projection we use for major league players, but we're just scaling it differently. And I think that the idea that a guy has to play a bit before to see like if he's good or not, like no. I think when you're projecting a player in the major leagues to project in the next season, you're also projecting guys from the minors to the majors in a similar way. You just have to scale down for the quality of pitching.
I mean, how many times are there players who are projected to be great players by how many number one prospects actually work out?
Basically all of them. There's like been a few that do not work out. Like they all.
You're going to find like one outlier case to say that you shouldn't be projecting.
Even then, Jerkson Profar is a solid player. Yeah, obviously number one prospect kind of player, but he's still a solid.
Delman Young. He was like the highest touted
this bucket. Oh, wait, time out.
It was a while ago. Like,
I will not be putting Jose Ramirez in my top 10 because once he had a really bad half of baseball, I will also not be ranked.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it does make sense because if we use outlier situations, like Cody Bellinger randomly sucked. So we really can't.
I really don't think Cody Bellinger is a top 10 center fielder anymore.
That's not the point.
60 WRC plus hitter? No, you don't.
It's not the point I'm making. That's not the point I'm making. James, the point I'm making is that well-established superstars also can randomly just suck. Outliers are outliers. We recognize them as outliers. We don't look at Cody Bellinger or Christian Yelich and Jose Ramirez as one.
I actually don't think Christian Yelich is an outlier anymore. Like, what? I just don't think he's good anymore.
No, I'm not going to put him in the group of these two because these two guys are not really ever going to be good again the way they were before. And Jose Ramirez is still going to be elite, and he's been elite ever since.
Yelich, I think, is actually about a 115 WRC SOS hitter now.
Yeah. Like, my point is that there are outliers. There are situations in which players that should have had a great career after these great years didn't end up doing that. And that doesn't necessarily mean that great players just suddenly start sucking and that's the norm. It's just outliers and it happens and we're wrong sometimes, or just unfortunate injuries or things of that sort. And you just got to go, oh, well, keep the right process because the process is right. The results sometimes aren't correct, but the process is right. And the process of giving guys who do the right things in the minor leagues, which is high ISO, strong, like not striking out like 40% of the time, because that's really not going to translate well to the major league level. High walk rates, like those type of things translate very well. And we should reward young players for doing that by putting them on top 20 or top 10 lists if they're performing that well, especially if they're in a defensive heavy position and they're good defenders.
I really just don't think, okay, and maybe I'm just being like quote unquote traditional here, but I just don't think that you can call a guy who's never played and go like, oh, he's better.
That's
than
not
that.
True.
He just
though.
Set
yes,
the fucking record.
But he just played. He's
played. Who?
Adley Rutschman has played baseball. That's not true. He has played.
But it's not the same. Like,
it's not. Like, but he has played. We have data.
The correlation between minor league and major league data is so low. Like this.
Okay.
This 113 WRC plus that Rutschman is projected, like, okay, 140, 145, 142 in the minors is what he had last year. Double A and Triple A is way different than the difference between Triple A and the majors. Like,
yes,
major league pitching is so much better than minor league pitching, and you don't correct. Know not every guy translates well. And
however, we have a track record of guys with his batted ball profile and stuff that, and similar offensive profiles in the minor leagues and at similar age groups, that end up hitting at a certain level, and usually they end up panning out. And so because they usually end up panning out, you use that same correct process to apply it to players. And if you're wrong sometimes, you're wrong sometimes. But you'll be right most of the time, and that's really what matters, being closer to being correct all the time, which we'll never ever get to, but you get closer.
I still think, okay, I put him at 6 because...
You're a sheep.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
I'd probably put him lower. Now that, like, I think about it, because I think, okay, I'd rather have, not rather have, I think Max Stassi will have a better season than Adley Rutschman this year. He'll play more.
Based on, are you sure Max Stassi's going to play more? Has he actually proved he's going to play a lot? He's got, like, what, 281 play appearances last year? He doesn't play a lot.
But Rutschman might not even play a game. Like, we don't know.
He's
fucking sucks.
He's definitely going to play.
What the fuck was that? What sucks.
Are you watching Monday Night Football right now?
Let's move on to questions. Fuck okay.
Fuck no. We need a cumulative list here, which this is all right, awful. List. 10 Heim, 9 Kirk, 8 Zunino, 7 Stassi, 6 Garver, 5 Rutschman, 4 Murphy, 3 Realmuto, 2 Smith, 1 Grandal. This list is terrible, but I digress.
All right, well, get that ready to be posted on the Twitter and Instagram.
You can put this on your own Twitter and Instagram. I don't need to be associated with the list that has Jonah Heim in the top 10.
You will be crying when you are doming.
Anyway, I need Jackson's list before I do this.
All right, let's answer some questions here real quick before we head out. Who's better, Tyler O'Neill or Joey Gallo going into 2022?
O'Neill.
I think they'll be this. I think they'll like put. They'll put an identity.
O'Neill.
Together. They'll put an identical
together. I don't know. I'm going to have O'Neill higher on my list when I do the left fielders because I don't want to be canceled by the woke mob. But I think, I don't know, Gallo kind of projects better. You know, I don't know. Also, his defensive left field might be sketch. We don't really know what that was last year. He's obviously, if Gallo was playing right field for sure, he'd be better than O'Neill, no question. But I don't know about left field. Well, I'll probably
okay, what's sketch about
Gallo's left field defense wasn't as good as it was in right field.
But it was also like a weird situation. Like he might turn around this year. Like we don't know. It's very up in the air. That's why defense is kind of weird like that. But we know. Like,
okay, so Joey Gallo hit 160 in New York. He can't deal it with the pressure. Like he's just not that good. He does better.
You know that Marcus Stroman? You know Marcus Stroman is going to be worse than Steven Matz next year, and you paid him over $15 million.
Carry the hell on. All
right, let's.
What's up?
Do you want to make another bet here? Like, yeah. I'm on one today. Like, we will make.
If you're
going
to ask me to bet, is
you
Joey
really
Gallo
think you really think that Steven Matz is going to be better than Marcus Stroman next year?
Oh, it's the Steven Matz shit.
No. Oh my god, dude. Okay, I was trolling. I was
okay. Fuck you.
Oh my. Don't worry.
I do think Tyler O'Neill's better than Joey Gallo. I mean it's close, but
yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Gallo's better, but I would say O'Neill's probably.
I feel like if you put Gallo in like Tampa, he'd do well. Or like, you know, a team with no fans. He seems like a Julius Randle, you know, just like only plays well with no fans. Empty
don't
stadium.
Joey Gallo, that motherfucker. Wait, but didn't Joey Gallo have like a terrible 2020?
Yeah, he did. He look at 86 WRC plus.
Yeah,
his worst year.
It's so. What's the comparison?
There was literally
and also
no
Texas
fans
had 2020.
Okay, well the comparison here is that it was 60 games.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but also Texas didn't have COVID restrictions, so they were packed more than Yankee Stadium was. Most.
All
of
I'm saying is that 95 WRC plus is not good. And Tyler O'Neill would never do that.
He's not actually a 95.
Tyler O'Neill would that. Have you not? Like, okay.
James,
Tyler O'Neill is
let's move on.
Faster, better defender, and a better hitter.
Tyler, you're a Cubs fan twerking for the Cardinals. That's how much you hate the Yankees. You're twerking for the Cardinals right now.
No, I just like Tyler O'Neill. He's a better hitter than anyone on the Yankees.
Oh,
dude. All right, let's move on.
Fuck you.
I need a Cooper Kupp touchdown.
Who should the Mets hire as their manager? I would go Matt Quatraro.
Yeah. I don't know who that is, but I think they should just go for Espada.
Actually, yeah, I'm going to sell Espada here just because I like Espada. I think he was a former Yankee.
Did you say Carlos?
No, I said Espada.
Okay, I thought you said Carlos Espada.
I said because he's a former Yankee.
Matt Quatraro.
Why am I that is.
Dog shit, move on from that one.
Wait, what's wrong?
Do the Jays have a top five rotation and lineup? No.
Yes, lineup, no rotation.
Yeah.
Do they even have a
top five lineup right now?
Yes, easily.
Who they? Oh no, they only lost.
They lost.
Yeah,
nobody.
Well, no, I forgot they lost.
They'll be over him.
Although, I do think their rotation is like top 10. Close.
They're top 10 rotation.
The second half of last year, they were like a top 3 rotation.
They also upgraded from Wright to Gosman quite a bit.
They upgraded there. I mean, Barrios is obviously still good.
Gosman,
throw the fucking ball, you.
I don't think Manoah is that good. I think Manoah is okay. He's like,
no,
he's
I think Manoah is really good.
Manoah's like a, I think Manoah's like a Jordan Montgomery type pitcher. Like,
no, I think Manoah's way better than that.
No, he's not way better than Jordan Montgomery. Are you crazy?
He had a 3.2 ERA last year.
No,
10.2 K9, 3.32 XERA. Like,
yourself, dude. Come on.
Okay, you want to make another bet? Alec Manoah will have
a worse ERA than Jordan Montgomery next year.
We're gonna make a list. Okay, so now this is a thing. We're making a list, and it's just for points. Like no stupid bets here, but I'm writing down every stupid bet we're making. And
all right, next question, real quick. While you do that, Michael Kopech will be a top blank starting pitcher. I don't know where to rank Kopech. I'll say top 50 seems kind of conservative if he's a starting pitcher.
All right, so
you got such great stuff, but I don't know if that plays starting pitcher.
I don't think he's a starter. I think he's still a reliever. You know what? I'm going to go aggressive. I'm going to say he'll be a top 30 starter next year.
I think he's definitely happen. If he doesn't have another fucking Tommy John,
yeah. Well, that's the hope, right? He doesn't have Tommy John.
Is that the hope, though? He's a
yes.
White Sox.
Well, yeah. Where no, I mean, I. Do you not like?
I hate the White Sox. Fuck the White Sox.
Fuck the White Sox. Where does Carlos Rodon sign post lockout? I have heard the Twins have the highest AAV on the table.
No, actually, Cubs are getting Correa. They don't want anyone else.
I think the Mets will.
Touchdown Cup. Let's fucking go.
Mets.
I think Rodon goes to the Cubs because I think the Cubs would. That's a good risk for the Cubs to take because they aren't.
Cubs get Rodon. Cubs get Correa, Cubs win World Series.
Yeah, I'm so sure, bud. I'm so sure.
They're better than the Yankees.
You know, like, that if the Yankees sign Correa, I'm going to shit on you. And if the Cubs sign Correa, I'm just going to make fun of you for wasting Carlos Correa's entire career.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you could say that. Like, it's the same thing as Detroit. Like, we're better.
Yeah, but I would have laughed at Detroit for wasting Correa.
It's Detroit with money, like.
But I'm a prime coper. There's, you gotta understand, dude. Like, I am very good at this. Very good at this. Have you not seen how I've conducted this entire offseason?
All right, so what are our dumb bets? I said Perez would have a better WRC plus than Melendez.
Wait, I'm a dumb bets. By the way, your dumb bets that you're just so much, like, you lost the bet to me. You have not beaten me in any bets.
James versus Ryan.
I have not. You have not. You have not.
What was the other one?
Montgomery and Manoa. But I don't think, like, I didn't think Manoa was going to have a worse ERA than Montgomery. I just think that they're similar pitchers.
I think he'll have a better ERA than Montgomery by like 20 points, 0.2 at least.
No, that's just not happening.
He plays, I mean, Montgomery doesn't help that he plays in Yankee Stadium, but.
So we'll go adjust it. We'll go ERA minus.
No. That bet is ERA.
Yes.
James.
No.
But ERA this isn't a Ryan bet. This is a Jack bet.
Okay. I'll take ERA.
You're gonna take raw ERA, Jack. God bless your soul, man.
And then the Jonah Heim will have a WRC plus lower than 80.
That was a Jack bet. I never agreed to that. I said it was possible he could finish.
All right. Let's do one more here. Where does Seiya Suzuki sign? I think we answered this one last time. But let's do the
Angels.
End. I'll stick with the Rangers here.
Now Rangers. Seiya
Suzuki.
I don't know, wherever they have one of those fucking chinks over there.
Our New York Yankee.
What? I can slur my own people on. I can slur my own people on my own podcast. Like, it's fine.
Wait, what'd you say? What'd you say? Dude, what the fuck is so funny? I have no idea what you said.
I will text you that later. I mean, I already said it once. I might as well say it twice.
No. Just stop. No, don't. Just going to San Suzuki, I think, will go to Boston. All right. I think the Red Sox are desperate, so yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Deep Drive and Left Field podcast. If you like what you saw, please give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us a lot, apparently. Make sure to go follow me on Instagram and Twitter at MLB Nerds. And follow the Instagram and Twitter at Deep Drive Pod. Make sure to follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM. Also, go subscribe to his YouTube channel at Fireside Yankees. Forgot to mention that before. And go follow James on Twitter at James Valentinus for mediocre tweets. It's been a Deep Drive Left Field by Castellanos, and we will see you in episode number 8.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.